This is Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67, all ready to launch another hour of music, comedy, news, and interviews with interesting people. One of those interesting people is Sam Levinson. We'll be hearing from him shortly. Meantime, let's listen to the voice of Marilyn May singing Sherry.
Sherry, you fill my cup with happiness, Sherry. You make this life a glorious game. The sound of your name can set me aflame with gay anticipation, Sherry. You make me feel deliciously merry.
A sense of humor is a vital asset to human understanding, and a man who can laugh at himself is always a happier man than one who can't. A good example of this was demonstrated at the Sheraton Park Hotel in Washington, D.C. last week, when humorist Sam Levinson spoke to the National Conference of Christians and Jews.
You can actually gauge the level of brotherhood, of goodwill of any nation, including our own, by the humor. My father's first encounters with humor was a brutal humor to destroy. I think that the work of the Conference of Christians and Jews and others like this group have improved this entire relationship in the jokes themselves. We have a new kind of humor. It's gentler, it's kind, and what else is most important, within the group you can kid yourself. Joke. Great little story. Little Jewish kid walks into a grocery store. My mother asks, would you give me for 10 cents animal crackers? She says, please, to take out the pigs. Which is much sweeter, huh? You see the difference between that and the old jokes? A new world's a coming. Here's one that happened in my congregation. I belong to a temple in Queens, right near my home. First month or two after the kids go off to college, our rabbi calls a kind of a council of all the college boys, and he talks to them. He asks what they're learning. One of our boys went to Notre Dame, right? When he came back, the rabbi kind of called him aside, off the record, and he says, son, they're not trying to convert you to Catholicism there, are they? And the kid says, oh, no, not me, father. I'll even risk this one. In the presence, men of the cloth, of all faiths here, and all denominations, this is great because it happened to me. I have a friend who's a priest who was teaching. I won't mention places because some of you may know him, then you may go back and tell him I told. He taught at a college, and when I last saw him only a year or so ago, they had put him in charge of an all-girls school. See, he sent for me to address a meeting of all the girls, see? As I walk out, I was quite impressed of all these pretty girls and the priest. I give you my word of honor, this happened. He pokes me in the ribs and he says, "Not bad, Sam." See? So I wouldn't have said this, you see. But he said it, so I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, what are you saying, Father?" He said, "Look, Sam, just because I'm on a diet doesn't mean I can't look over the menu." Now, there too, the openness, the frankness. He lost nothing by making this joke at all. I have greater regard for him. Here's the great joke. If I've never told it to you, use it. Humor can be an ammunition for the good of man. A rabbi, this is a brilliant joke, profound, understands the psychology of the bigot as no other joke I've ever met. Poor man, the rabbi, he walks out in the street and they threw stones at him. Every day they threw stones. What do you do? He prayed to God, and God probably gave him this approach, see? One day he walked out and said, "Just a minute, young man. I want to talk to you kids." You know, kids. He says, "It's a big job for you. You wait for me to come out every morning. Some mornings I'm late. You may be late for school. You have to go into the woods and gather stones to throw at me." He says, "Let's make a deal." I said, "What's the deal?" He says, "Well, from here on in, beginning tomorrow, every time I come out, you throw a stone, I'll give each one of you a penny." They said, "It's a deal." Next morning he came out, they threw stones, he gave him pennies. Next morning he came out, he threw stones, he gave him. He let this go on for about 3 weeks. One morning he refused to give them money. They refused to throw stones. Isn't it beautiful? Summation. So here I stand now, the year's 1967. I'm a free man. I've gotten over the ghetto walls, and I'm secure enough now to say the bigot now lives in a ghetto. I'm free. He can have his ghetto. He can have his walls. I know the joy of being an American, fulfilled, easygoing, secure, no hyphens between me and Jewish American. I am a Jew. I'm an American. I'm having a ball. I wanted everybody to enjoy his religion as much as I've enjoyed my own ancestors. My father once bought me a book. This is my final story. He, on the way home from the sweatshops of New York, had a hard life and lived to see America do wonderful things for his children as a Jew. With 10 cents in his pocket, he saw a book and he brought it for me. Okay? I looked at it. The title on the cover was a little bit deceptive. I didn't know what it meant. It couldn't have meant what it said because my father never would have bought me that kind of book. It said, "How to Hug." See? My father never talked about things like that. So I looked through and there were all kinds of pictures and print. I didn't know what to make. I looked again, "How to Hug," Roman numeral 5. Then it dawned on me. This was a stray volume from a set of encyclopedias, H-O-W to H-U-G. See? See? But now I realize that Pop, in his naivete, had picked up a bargain in a book. But that's the book that we have to write. That's a great title for a book. The book on how to hug. How to take another human being to your arms, whether you like him or you don't like him. I think we've fallen on our face in this entire civil rights program because we forgot that the Bible says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There are no footnotes that say you have to like him. You don't have to like him. Liking has nothing to do with social justice. Loving does. And if you stick to the simple one, you got it. So what are our alternatives? Either we learn how to hug, not only ourselves, but all people everywhere. Either we take them to our hearts, or we shall all finally be cremated equal. Thank you.
An impressive demonstration of the saving grace of laughter from a man who's made America laugh for years, Sam Levinson. You're tuned to Monitor. The time is 17 minutes after the hour, and in just 4 minutes more, we'll hear Joe Garagiola interviewing Bill Cook, one of the greats of what some people call the world's fastest sport, hockey. So don't go away. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall here, back with more of the swinging sound of Monitor 67, starting off this segment with the voice of Jerry Vale singing a brand new one, Signs.
Signs. Signs, I see the The road up ahead will be paved with hard times. Signs, signs, what can I do? I just can't stop loving you. Lately, whenever we're dancing, it's just like I'm dancing alone. And every time that I kiss you, I'm kissing two lips made of stone. Signs, signs, I see the signs. The road up ahead will be paved with hard times. Signs, signs, what can I do? I just can't stop loving you. It seems you do things to hurt me. You say things that make my tears fall. Looks like I'm heading for heartbreak. The handwriting's there on the wall. Signs, signs, I see the signs. The road up ahead will be paved with hard times. Signs, signs, what can I do? I just can't stop loving you. Signs, signs, I see the signs. The road up ahead will be paved.
Now, at the Monitor Sports Desk, with a story about one of the greats of the sport of ice hockey, here's Joe Garagiola.
You hear a lot in sports about the memories that come back to people when they see or hear about a great name from the past. But those great names have their memories, too. Recently, I asked Hockey Hall of Famer Bill Cook of the New York Rangers what he remembered.
Well, always I'll remember Moran's, with his terrific speed. Always I'll remember Shore, with his body checking and tremendous drive. I'll always remember Ching Johnson, the Rangers, for his defense work when you wanted him the worst. And I can see Joliet with his stick handling ability, that he seemed to have everything. Well, then there's our own Frankie Boucher in center, the passing ability. There's Brother Bunn in my left wing. And it all combines to bring you back into memories lane, if you want to call it that way, and see things and compare things of yesteryears and say to yourself, they were pretty good at that time, too.
But Bill Cook doesn't live only in the past. I asked him about today's hockey players and how they compare to the men he played with and against.
Well, it's a hard one because now they go in for so much corner play. But Howe, naturally, is Hull. All great players are great players. And with Hull's ability and Howe's ability, they were always great. You can learn a few other in-between jobs and aggressiveness, maybe. But to me, their ability. Now, Maurice Richard, he just stands out. He's everything. He's got everything. And he'll go into Mihaljevic in Toronto. Tremendous to watch. Shoot. And Delvecchio, Allman. There's a lot of good hockey players in that league right now.
If you're a hockey fan of long standing, I'm sure that some of your memories are like those of Bill Cook. And if you're one of the younger fans, you should be pleased to hear how today's heroes compare to the men who were the pioneers in the young National Hockey League of 30 or 40 years ago. When the old-timers tell you the modern ones couldn't compare, just remember the words of one of the really great ones, Bill Cook of the New York Rangers. He only left out one name that a lot of fans remember, and that was Bill Cook himself. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
I was never much of an ice hockey player, I must admit, but you should have seen me on a pair of roller skates with a broom handle and an old tin can. More Monitor music now from a vocal group known as the Seekers. I don't know what they were seeking originally, but here's one of the things they found, Georgie Girl.
Hey there, Georgie Girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there inside you. Hey there, Georgie Girl, why do all the boys just pass you by? Could it be you just don't try, or is it the clothes you wear?
You're always window shopping, but never stopping to buy.
So shed those dowdy feathers and fly
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change that be. You can't always run away.
Don't be so scared of changing and rearranging yourself.
It's time for jumping down from the shelf
a little bit.
Hey there, Georgie girl, there's another Georgie deep inside. Bring out all the love you hide, and oh, what a change that'd be.
If there's but one strand of hair on top of your head, give it a break before it drops dead. Even a kid who's got more than his share should make extra sure he shampoos it with care. So pick up a tube of Breck Concentrate Shampoo. Cleans each strand so gently it's a hair saver for you. And the whole family will have hair that looks great because Breck quality is in Breck Concentrate. Sounds quite expensive? Then price it. You'll see how much can be saved when you buy quality. If you've a strand to your name, shampoo it with care. Try Breck Concentrate. It cleans every hair.
Here's an instrumental with a bossa nova beat, the theme from Grand Prix. Listening to the distinctive sound of Monitor 67, your weekend companion for news, comedy, sports, and music, whether you're at home or on the go anywhere around the country. In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the call letters are K-E-L-O. We'll step aside right now and let all our NBC affiliates identify themselves, and then more of Monitor 67.
This is Dr. Joyce Brothers. Chet Huntley, Barbara Walters, Bill Cullen, and I are heard each weekday with emphasis on NBC Radio.
Don't miss the magnificent values in Castro's huge Lincoln's Birthday Spectacular tomorrow at all Castro convertible showrooms.
Hi, this is Lee Leonard inviting you to join me on WNBC, the big voice of Big Town USA. Afternoons at 1 as I keep you in touch with Big Town, home of the world's greatest parade thoroughfare, where in 1912, New York's great lady of fashion, Mrs. Oliver Hazard Perry Belmont, led a woman suffrage parade down Fifth Avenue as crowds stared and wondered. Big Town USA.
At 8:31, it's 14 degrees in New York City, and this is Fleetwood with the latest WNBC news. A truck carrying Vietnamese Army airborne troops blew up only 75 yards from the U.S. military headquarters in Saigon this evening. First reports from the scene said 20 to 30 people may have been killed. Military ground and air action has resumed in the south, but there are no American bombs falling on the north. The U.S. has suspended bombing raids temporarily in a move to get peace negotiations started. In Springfield, Illinois, the birthplace of Lincoln, both Senators Everett Dirksen and Charles Percy said the U.S. should start bombing North Vietnam again. In London, British Prime Minister Harold Wilson and Soviet Premier Alexei Kosygin wound up talks aimed at securing peace talks. It was believed the U.S. extended the bombing truce because of the London meeting. The government leaders signed a joint communique, which will be revealed tomorrow.
A Brooklyn congressman thinks all lawmakers in Washington should travel every year, and the government should pay for it. In a newsletter, Abraham Malter says he doesn't like the word junketing. He prefers congressional travel. Barrett, not so cold Monday night and Tuesday. Now repeating the present temperature, it's 11 degrees. The WNBC time is 8:33. And that's the news and weather to this moment. Next news from the NBC newsroom at 9 p.m. with Charles Murphy. Bulletins will be broadcast at once.
Hello, Brad Crandall here for Monitor 67, with another armload of goodies that includes the voice of Trini Lopez, the comedy of Woody Allen, and an interview with one of the more successful members of the new wave vocalist group, Demita Joe. First, the latest from the husband-wife team of Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet. The honeymoon is over.
When your husband doesn't touch your best dessert, when you find the purple lipstick on his shirt, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you better be on the alert.
When your wife decides that she should wear the pants, when she puts you down each time she gets the chance, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over, and you'd better search for some romance.
Time you saw your old trusty lawyer, ask him whether you find another nest to feather.
When your husband suddenly becomes a swell,
when your wife is bored by every joke you tell, then, my dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over.
When your wife is bored by jokes, you
when your wife is bored by jokes. You tell them, dear, it's clear the honeymoon is over. And you may as well play the scene up, make your exit, reach the climax, pull the curtain back up, move out, tell him, darling.
Well, yeah. What does a singer do when the audience is noisy or unruly? Well, different performers have different techniques, but one of the more successful young lady singers, a girl named Demita Joe, has a very simple system. She spoke of this and other matters to Monitor's Del Donahue.
Demita Joe, I've often wondered, is that your real name or is it a show business name?
No, that's my real name. Demita Joe is my first and middle name.
You do have a last name.
I have two last names, a maiden name and a married name. My maiden name was DeBlanc, and my married name is Wood. I don't know where the Joe came from, because I was born Demita DeBlanc, which means Little Lady of White. And being born in Texas, I guess you have to have three names, so I ended up Demita Joe DeBlanc. And so it's a little long for a marquee, so I just used the first and second name.
Did you start your show business career in Texas?
No, I didn't. My family moved to California when I was quite young. And as far as show business is concerned, I didn't really get into it until I was older. I did take part in community projects, you know, the school shows and the, you know, the Rotary and the Lions Club appearances and the local radio stations and, you know, that sort of thing. I did get several motion picture contract offers before. The first one was when I was five for MGM. But my father didn't want a show business career for me. So it was the community things were all right. He didn't mind that, but he didn't want me to become a professional child, you know.
Demita Joe, it's been said that you overwhelm a tune, that you sing it, you dance it, you shout it, and just generally all-out perform it. How do you describe your singing style?
Well, I don't know. I try to think of the song and the lyric and also the situation at the time. sometimes it becomes a contest between you and the audience. And a lot of times I will sing a song according to the way I feel the audience is reacting at the time. If it's a noisy place, maybe I'll sing a little louder, you know. But if it's very quiet, then I'll concentrate more on the vocal end and less on the gymnastics.
As an entertainer, you have to be quite style conscious. What's your opinion of current styles in dress?
I think they're fabulous.
You mean the miniskirt you approve of?
Yes, I do. I think they're wild. They're just beautiful. There's nothing like giving a woman a new style or something. And this is really a chance for people who are basically inhibited to just throw caution to the wind and become completely uninhibited and find a new you sort of thing. I love the hairdos. I love the stockings, you know, the wild-looking mod stockings and the miniskirts, I think, are fabulous. I'm 100% for it.
What about the future, Demita Joe? Are there a great many things that you want to accomplish?
Yes. I would like very much to do films.
In other words, pick up the chance that you missed when you were 5 years old?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I don't know. I may not be the actress that I think I am, but I at least want the opportunity to try. I really want that very badly.
Thank you, Demita Joe, and continued good luck to you.
Now, having met Demita Joe, let's hear the young lady herself singing If You Go Away.
If you go away on the summer day, then you might as well take the sun away. All the birds that flew in the summer sky when our love was new and our hearts were high, when the day was young and the night was long and the moon stood still for the nightbird's song. If you go away, if you go away, if you go away. But if you stay, sin or will be again. I'll ride on your smile, I'll sail on your touch, I'll talk to your eyes that I love so much. But if you go, if you go away, if you go away, if you go away, as I know you will, you must tell the world to stop turning till you return again. If you ever do. For what good is love without loving you? Can I tell you now, as you turn to go, I'll be dying slowly till next hello. If you go away, Namakitipa. If you go away, please don't go away.
You're tuned to Monitor at 16 minutes before the hour, and I'm your host, Brad Crandall. Just down the line, we'll hear from comedy writer-turned-comedian Woody Allen with a retrospective look at the formative years of American literature. So stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
660's best argument is Long John Versus, weeknights at 8, on the Big Voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
A gambling problem or know of someone who does, please call Gamblers Anonymous at MU97500. In the New York City area, there are 16 groups and at least one meeting each night of the week. Gamblers Anonymous is patterned after Alcoholics Anonymous so that men and women can share their experience, strength, and hope with each other in order to solve their common gambling problem. Remember, for information and assistance about a gambling problem, please call MU97500. It's 8:45.
Down city streets, country lanes, and busy highways, Big Town USA is on the move with people. And WNBC, the voice of Big Town, brings you the sound of Big Town people on the move.
Now, Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live in leading nightclubs, theaters, and concert halls all around the country. In the years between World War I and World War II, a whole school of American artists lived and worked in Paris. At a nightclub called The Shadows in Washington, D.C., comedian Woody Allen took an imaginative look at these expatriates.
I was in Europe. It's not the first time that I was in Europe. I was in Europe many years ago with Ernest Hemingway. Hemingway had just written his first novel, and Gertrude Stein and I read it, and we said that it was a good novel, but not a great one, that it needed some work, but it could be a fine book. And we laughed over it, and Hemingway punched me in the mouth. That winter, Picasso lived on the Rue de Bach. He had just painted a picture of a naked dental hygienist in the middle of the Gobi Desert. Gertrude Stein said it was a good picture, but not a great one. And I said it could be a fine picture. We laughed over it. Hemingway punched me in the mouth. I remember Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald came home from their wild New Year's Eve party. It was April. Scott had just written Great Expectations, and Gertrude Stein and I read it, and we said it was a good book, but there was no need to have written it because Charles Dickens had already written it. We laughed over it, and Hemingway punched me in the mouth. And that winter, we went to Spain to see Manoletti fight, and he was looked to me 18, and Gertrude Stein said no, he was 19, but that he only looked 18. And I said, sometimes a boy of 18 will look 19, whereas other times a 19-year-old can easily look 18. And that's the way it is with a true Spaniard. And we laughed over that, and Gertrude Stein punched me in the mouth. And then the war came. Hemingway went to Africa to do a book, and Gertrude Stein moved in with Alice Toklas, and I went to New York to see my orthodontist.
Woody mumbles Allen on stage. And now, another stellar young performer named Jack Jones, singing his current big hit, Lady.
Lady, you're in love today, but what about your broken heart tomorrow? Why waste all your loveliness on someone if he really doesn't care? Let me take you in my arms and let me love you tenderly, and you see all the joys of life you never found before you'll find with me. Lady, take my love today and let me give you a happiness forever. Every day you wait, a little love we could be sharing slips away. Why find out too late that what you thought was love was just a brief fantasy? I'm in love with you, so lovely lady. Won't you fall in love with me? I'm in love with you, so lovely lady, won't you fall in love with me?
Now, Monitor presents Sport of Speed. Each week at this time, Ted Webb brings you news, views, and results from the world of auto racing to help keep you informed about one of the biggest of all spectator sports. Here's Ted with today's report.
Thank you, Brad. Sport of Speed comes to you from the Florida State Fair at Tampa, where today we saw the second in a series of sprint car races which highlight the fair activity each February. Yesterday, the sprinters racing under the sanction of the Midwest-based International Motor Contest Association put on a thriller. The card could be likened to a fairy tale with a feature event won by Steve Unger from Garrettsville, Ohio. The unbelievable part of his day lies in the fact that he flipped his race car during time trials and emerged unhurt. The car was superficially damaged and was soon repaired. Unger then went out again and set fast time of the day. Winning the feature was the climax of an unbelievable day, especially so since yesterday was his first time at the Tampa Fairgrounds. Finishing second behind Unger was Dale Harrison of Bettsville, Ohio. Third was Dick Kelm of Clinton, Pennsylvania. Fourth went to Jerry Daniels of St. Paul. And fifth was Bill Peterbaugh of Roxana, Illinois. In the first lap of the consolation, Bill Brown of Denville, New Jersey, took a vicious series of five end-for-end flips and fortunately sustained cuts and bruises with no more serious results. However, the McConnell Chevy took the brunt of the damage and is much the worse for wear. Today's 30-lap feature was won by Buzz Barton of Tampa in a Ford-powered Sprinter. He was followed by Carl Busson of Toledo. Third was Scratch Daniels of St. Paul, Minnesota. Fourth went to 22-year-old Bruce Walkup of Downey, California, while fifth went to Jerry Blundy of Galesburg, Illinois. A four-car trophy dash was also won by young Dick Kelm, who is fast proving to be an up-and-coming driver. In winning the dash, he set a new track record. Across the state of Florida, at the Daytona International Speedway, preparations for the February 26th Daytona 500 got into full swing this afternoon, with the first day of time trials, which determine the two pole positions for the big race, which will have a purse, including time trial monies, of close to $200,000. A special $5,000 bonus for the fastest car today was won by veteran Curtis Turner of Charlotte, North Carolina. he drove the smoky Unic Chevelle twice around the 2.5-mile highly banked track at an almost unbelievable 180.8 miles an hour average. Next fastest was Richard Petty of Randleman, North Carolina, in a Plymouth. He averaged 179.068. David Pearson in Dodge was next with 178.695, followed by Cale Yarbrough in a Ford at 178.660. The two qualifying races at Daytona today for the late model stockers of the ARCA organization were won by Neil Castles of Charlotte in a Ford at an average of 155.9 and Les Snow of Bloomington, Illinois in a Dodge Charger at 165.072. Without question, the 500-miler later this month will bear out the boast that it's the fastest race anywhere for any type of car. In Australia, another leg on the Tasman Cup was won today by Jim Clark, who finished ahead of Jack Brabham in a Repco Brabham. This is Ted Webb from the Tampa, Florida Fair for Monitor Sports.
Sport and Speed, featuring Ted Webb, America's foremost authority on auto racing, is presented each Saturday and Sunday, coast to coast, on NBC Monitor. Incidentally, next week only, Sport and Speed will be heard 1/2 hour earlier. Now, a singer with a name that could be either male or female, but happens to be a girl. Gail Martin, singing a song with a reminiscent title, And We Were Lovers.
I saw you smiling as if I could forget, and we were lovers the moment that we met. And we would wander, intend to wander through the golden summer with nothing to regret.
Monitor music from one of those show business mysteries. A Brazilian gentleman whose name, believe it or not, is Walter Wanderley with Amanhã. Tune to Monitor, and I'm your host, Brad Crandall, reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is just ahead, and inviting you to stay tuned for Second Sunday, which this week presents a 55-minute program entitled Red China, The Struggle for Power. Host Wells Hangen, NBC News Hong Kong, will analyze the historic upheaval in Red China, assisted by John Rich in Tokyo, Kenneth Bernstein in Moscow, and James Robinson, NBC News State Department correspondent. China's communist heritage, her internal difficulties, and her relations with the rest of the world will be explored in depth. So don't miss this significant look at the giant of the Far East coming up shortly. That's Red China, The Struggle for Power, on most of these same NBC stations. Be sure to listen.
Monitor, exploring the weekend world on the NBC Radio Network. If it's questionable, Brad Crandall makes it answerable. Call him weeknights at 9 on the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.
I want to tell you about a young fellow, 20 years old, who came from a small town in southern Texas. He dropped out of school as soon as he finished the 7th grade because he was anxious to go to work. Oh, he got work all right, but not much. Odd jobs on vegetable farms and in packing plants. It wasn't steady work. He didn't earn much money. One day, he decided he wanted to make more of his life. He heard about the Job Corps, one place where a boy without an education could get one and learn a good trade at the same time. He spent 6 months in the Job Corps, improved his reading and his math, and now he's a welder, earning $2.50 an hour. If you're 16 through 21, out of school and unable to find a decent job, see about joining the Job Corps. Call Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25. Find out today how you can join the Job Corps. Call Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25.